to begin with in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. Actually, 21, excuse me. Now, of course, today is Palm Sunday, and we think about what's called the triumphal entry. And I want to read a little bit of that. Verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Then, if you will, skip down to verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them. And Jesus said on them, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him shouted, and those that followed, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I want to stop right there. Now, it's interesting as we look at this crowd, you know, they saw Jesus. They had a picture and an understanding of who they thought Jesus was. And because they thought he was the Messiah that was coming to restore Jerusalem to her former glory, that he had come as a king and a conqueror, they were all excited. They were all thrilled. They were all giving praise to him. They were doing all kinds of things. But you know what? About a week later, this same crowd was the same crowd that yelled out, crucify him. So we know that what they saw and their understanding of Jesus was not a real deep and true understanding of who Jesus is, of who Jesus was. And so many times, even now in the church, we see the same thing. We see so many people who come to church, who say they're born again, who say they're Christians, but they've never really seen and understood who Jesus really is. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 29. This is John the Baptist speaking. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look or behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, as far as we know at this point in time, John the Baptist was the only one who had a true perception and understanding of who Jesus really was. And today, in the short time that we have here, I want us to gain a deeper understanding and insight of what John the Baptist saw when he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to talk about resurrection. But right today, we want to talk about, leading up to that Sunday, we want to think about this, the Lamb of God. What does it mean, behold the Lamb of God? Turn, if you will, over to the Old Testament, Leviticus. We want to look at some types this morning in the Old Testament, the types surrounding the offering that the high priest gave once a year, because in these types, we're going to gain a greater understanding of what it meant when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now we know here in Leviticus 16, verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary, with a young bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to cover, is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and for his household. He is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord. And the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger 7 times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in the front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the meeting, for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on it itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the men shall release it in the desert. Now, I read all that to show you a type. And here God said in the scripture, and this is the principle that's carried over even to the New Testament, and that is this, that without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement, there is no remission of sins. And here in the Old Testament, God said, you take the blood, you sprinkle it on the atonement cover or the mercy seat there. Now, the reason that they did that is that underneath the mercy seat were the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments was the righteous law that God had given to them. He said, this is my standard. This is what you must live by. But the problem was, no one could. The Bible says, by the keeping of the law, no one can be justified because no one can keep the law. And so that law, because no one could keep the law, there was judgment upon everyone. There was wrath upon everyone. But God says, here's what I'm going to do. Between my righteousness and between my judgment, I am going to put a cover called the mercy seat. And he said, when that blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat, then there is going to be forgiveness. There's going to be redemption for everyone among the Israelites. But you know, not only was the blood applied there, and we know this, that Jesus, when he was called the Lamb of God, what was John, who was, of course, a Jew and understood the types, he understood what they represented, what they foretold, which was what God's Lamb coming without spot and without wrinkle that would offer himself his own very own blood, what? For the remission of sins. Now, Jesus himself has done the same thing. But I want you to see that there were two parts here. This is why I came to this particular portion of Scripture. There are two parts here. Not only was one offered up and the blood sprinkled, and notice it says sprinkled seven times. Seven times is the number of God, stands for perfection, stands for completeness. In other words, when he sprinkled that blood seven times here, that meant that what? In all its entirety, there was a full and complete forgiveness for all the sins of the people. Amen? That foretold that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, in all his perfection as the Son of God and also the Son of Man without sin and without blemish, would offer up his very own blood, and through the perfectness of his blood, there would be complete forgiveness and restoration to everyone who called on his name. But then there was a second one here called the scapegoat. This is where we get the term scapegoat that's used in our language today. And this is what we also, I want us to understand when we think about Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God. That was that Aaron, after he had sprinkled the blood, Aaron was commanded by God to take this other goat that was alive, take that goat, and he was to lay his hands upon the head of that goat, and he transferred all of the sins of the people of Israel upon the scapegoat. That's why the goat was led outside the camp and was led there and left there to die in the wilderness. There, in other words, that separated what? That indicated what? There was a complete separation of all the sins of the people of Israel, was completely removed from them and separated from them. And the Bible says now, with our new covenant and with the offering that Jesus has given us, that God has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And so all of our sins have been borne by Jesus. If you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let's look there. We're talking about behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Because really, when we get an understanding of what has transpired Through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, we come to understand this, that there is no longer a sin problem. Now that may come as a surprise. Somebody says, well, you sure could have fooled me, Pastor. It sure looks like there's plenty of sin going on. I didn't say there wasn't any sin going on, but I said there is no longer a sin problem. Because if we really behold the Lamb of God as we should behold the Lamb of God, if we understand and see what the Lamb of God has accomplished, what He has finished, what He has done, then we'll understand there's no longer a sin problem. There is just a sinner problem. Because when you get the sinner to Jesus, the sin problem has already been dealt with. Amen? So we want to be able to behold the Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's pick it up there in about verse 18. Well, let's back up to 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world, everybody say the world, to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Why? Because Jesus took all our sins. He took them all. He took them all. Just like the scapegoat, all the sins were by the high priest were transferred onto that scapegoat. So God laid upon Jesus and transferred all of your sin, all of my sin, all of our iniquities. It was transferred on to Jesus at Calvary. Past, present, and future. All of them. Now we understand. Can you imagine? Do you know? Can you remember how the weight of sin felt before you came to the Lord? And that was just yours. Can you imagine what the weight of the sins of all humanity? No wonder Jesus felt crushed. No wonder. He said, you know, in anticipation of that, he felt the sorrow of it even before he did it. But the Bible says here, he bore every one of the whole world, not counting men's sins against him, and he has committed to us, you and I, the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now listen to this. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Behold, the Lamb of God, who was made to be sin for us. Behold, the Lamb of God this morning. Behold, the Lamb of God on that cross. Behold, the Lamb of God taking all of your sin, past, present, and future, bearing it all. Just as the high priest transferred all of the Israelite sin on that goat, God, the Father, he took all of your sin and he put it upon Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He made him to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, I call it the great exchange at Calvary. Jesus became what we were so that we might become what he is. Wow. Man, that'll blow your circuitry. Won't it? Up here. That's what it was. It says he took upon himself your sin. He took upon himself your unrighteousness. He took upon himself that. He said, not only did he take upon himself that, the Bible says literally, he was made to be sin. Now you know, you can't grasp all of that. But here's the thing, as we behold the Lamb of God upon Calvary this morning, as we behold it, I want you to see. This is why the Bible says, Paul says in another place, he said, we were crucified with him. The old man in Christ, on Calvary, on that cross, he was put to death. The Bible says, he that is dead is free from sin. Now we know that's true literally in physical death, isn't it? Nobody in the graveyard being tempted this morning. Isn't that right? But what God wants us to understand is that has already transpired, that we, the old man, is dead to sin. Sin has no power over us anymore. Why? Because Jesus took it all. He took it all. He took all the punishment. He took all the wrath. He took all the judgment. He took all the condemnation. He took all the guilt that goes along with your sin. It's a package deal. You ever notice when your flesh takes advantage of you, or we allow it to, and it leads us into sin? Nobody's ever done that. But do you notice some of the first things that come along with that act? Guilt. Condemnation, shame. That's what I'm saying. It's a package deal. So when we behold the Lamb of God, what did he do? He took all of our sin. He took all of the condemnation that goes with it. Look here in Romans 8, chapter 2. Listen to this, verse 1. Therefore, there is now. Everybody say now. How many of you know you're always living in the now? You can't live in the past. I mean, you know. You can let your emotions attach to the past and hold you there. But you got to live right now, can't you? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, there is no condemnation. Amen? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Behold the Lamb of God. This morning, church, behold afresh and anew the Lamb of God. We are free. We're free from guilt. We're free from condemnation. We're free from wrath and judgment. We're free from hell's power. We're free from the condemnation and the power of the enemy. Oh, we belong to him. If any man, woman, person be in Christ, they are a brand new person, a brand new species, a brand new creation. Glory be to God. Woo! My happy meter just went up. How about yours? See, this is what the crowd on Palm Sunday, they didn't really grasp this. They didn't really understand this. That's the reason why, you know, that when Jesus was being offered up as the Lamb of God, when He was betrayed, when He was offered up, they didn't understand this. So, I mean, everybody forsook Him. Amen? You know, it's the old saying, everybody loves a lover. Man, everybody loves somebody on top. Isn't that right? Woo-hoo, yeah, man, you know, so, oh, yeah. But as soon as they get down a little bit, uh-oh, him, I never heard of him. Nothing new about that, is there? But see, when we understand and see the Lamb of God for who He really is, and see how much He loved us, how He took upon Himself our very own sin, and now we are free. We are free. Whom the Son sets free is what is free indeed. Amen. Turn over to Isaiah 53 a minute. Isaiah 53. So, Jesus, we see it here. It's clear, isn't it? He was made to be sin with our sin. Therefore, I'm free. I'm free. Listen, it's just because somebody calls you a liar don't make you one. Just because the devil wants to drag up things and accuse you and all that, that don't make it so. Stop listening to him. He said, you know you're just a big old fat hypocrite. And you say, I don't know any such thing. Jesus took all my sin. If you got a problem about something with me, take it up with the Lamb of God. Take it up with the Christ of God who sits at the right hand, that's making intercession for me, who bore all my sins, who bore the wrath and the judgment of God. That's why Paul said, if God be for us, if God justifies us, who can accuse us? Stop letting the devil accuse you. The reason you don't have the peace he provided is because what? You're not beholding the Lamb of God. In Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men. Behold, the Lamb of God, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, our sicknesses, our diseases, and carried our pains and our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Woo! Man, I'm telling you, if somebody don't shout, I'm going to shout. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only was he made to be sin with your sin, the Bible says, he took your sorrows, he took your pains, he took your diseases, he took your sicknesses. This is why we pray for the sick. This is why we encourage you and exhort you to receive healing by faith in the same way that you received the new birth and forgiveness of sins and were made righteous by the power of the Lamb of God. That same atonement, that same blood, that same life was given, what? So that you might live a life free of sickness and pains and diseases. Amen. The Bible says he laid on him all your sicknesses. All your sicknesses, past, present, and future, all your sins, past, present, and future, was laid upon him. Him who knew no sickness was made to be sick with your sicknesses, so that by his stripes you could be healed. See, when we really behold the Lamb of God, when we see him as he really is, Not as the crowd saw him just as a miracle worker, just as somebody, who might be able to deliver me from the moment. But we see somebody who has delivered us from a life of sin, a life of bondage, a life of sickness, a life that had no purpose and no meaning. And now he has translated us into the kingdom of his Son and given us a brand new life. A brand new life. Oh, behold the Lamb of God, church. Behold the Lamb of God this morning. Amen. Notice what he says here. He says, surely he took our infirmities. Turn over, if you will. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. You know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, now, Pastor, I'm not real sure. Now, I know the sin part. I'm with you on that. But I'm not real sure about the sickness part and the disease part. You know, because, anybody in here ever been attacked by sickness? Anybody know somebody's ever been attacked by sickness? Just because you're attacked by it doesn't mean that God hasn't redeemed you from it. Sometimes, I understand, sometimes as Christians we look and we see, you know, people are sick and everything. We say, well, if God's redeemed us from it, how come people are still sick? I said, well, you answer me this question. If God's provided for salvation for everybody, how come everybody's not saved? When you can answer that one, you can probably answer the other one. Isn't that true? It's one of two reasons. The reason everybody hadn't been saved is either, number one, they haven't heard. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 10? He said, how shall they believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear unless somebody goes and tells them? So either they haven't heard that Jesus took their sickness and disease, or the second thing is, he says, and when we hear the message, we got to mix faith with it. He said the message, talking about the Hebrew children in Hebrews 4, did them no good. It didn't profit them because what? They didn't mix faith with the word they heard. So it's one of two reasons. Either we don't know or we haven't mixed faith yet. In Matthew 8, how many think if the Bible is the best commentary on itself? Isn't that right? You sure can't go wrong with the Bible. Amen? Matthew 8, verse 16, says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed and brought to him, he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. So it's very clear there by the commentary of the Bible itself. And if you've got a cross-reference Bible, you'll see it's referring you to Isaiah 53:4. So he took our infirmities, he took our diseases, just as he took our sins. And so this morning, as we behold the Lamb of God, what do we need to say? We need to see a Savior, a complete Savior, a Savior that has delivered us from all the work and the power of sin. All the work and the power of Satan. Because sin and Satan go hand in glove. There was no sickness till sin came into the world. There was no judgment on mankind until sin came into the world. There was no wrath. There was no guilt. There was no condemnation until sin came into the world. Turn over to Romans 5 just a moment. I say that knowing that probably the majority of people understand, but sometimes maybe we need to just read it from the scriptures to remind us and those maybe who don't know it. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. How many of you know there's plenty of death to go around? You ever know anybody that's still living because, you know, they just run out of death when it got to him? We laugh, but I'm wanting to make a point here. He said all men have sinned. And he said, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam, in other words, after Adam's sin, to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of the one man, which was Adam, I mean, you know, we didn't get to vote on whether Adam sinned or obeyed God. You weren't there. He did it, and you got the consequence. He said, but the gift is the same way. He said, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more? Say, how much more? Now, we just said there's plenty of death to go around, didn't we? Didn't we? But he's saying here, how much more? More than what? More than the death that is to go around. How much more is the grace to go around? How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow, there's that word, to the many? Basically what he was saying this, no matter how much death and sickness and guilt and condemnation came as a result of death, the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, was greater to forgive, to set you free, to heal your body, and to deliver you. How many times, rather than beholding the Lamb of God as He really is, we are beholding our problem. We behold the guilt. We behold and nurse the condemnation. And we think that that is greater. We even confess. Well, I know God said this, but. Well, remember, sheep are you know, sheep submit, goats butt. They do. Listen, you get in the, I double dog dare you. Get in a pasture with a billy goat. You tell me if he won't charge you and butt you if you don't get out of there. You know, if you don't run fast. Sure. But here's the thing. We need to understand this. Listen, he said, when we look around at sin, we look around at the work of sin, the work of death, the work of sickness, we look around at it, all of the ravages of it in humankind, and he says here, oh, can you get your faith around this? He said, much more the grace of God does abound towards you. No matter how great the sickness, grace is bigger. No matter how bad you've missed it, you've blown it, the grace of God is bigger. No matter what the bondage is, the liberty in Christ Jesus is greater. We're talking about, behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin. He takes away the sin. He takes away the sickness. He takes away the bondage. He takes away a life that is thrown away on the ash heap, and he makes it something new. Behold the Lamb of God. Notice down verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more, there's that phrase again, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Everybody say gift. Now, how much does it cost when you get a gift? How much does it cost you? The gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. If I gave you a brand new home that you didn't work for, you didn't make one payment on, you didn't drive one nail into it, you didn't help do anything, just a turnkey, I give you the key and you walk through the door and there it is, it's yours. Are you going to say, you know, I'm going to ride by one day and you're sleeping out there on the front porch. And I stop and say, what's the matter? Did you get locked out? I mean, you know, did something happen? What happened to... No, Pastor Norris. Now, I know you gave me this house, and boy, it sure is beautiful. I never had a house this... Oh, we never had a house like this in our life. It's just... Oh, it's just way more than I deserve. I just can't sleep. Oh, and that bed you put up there? Oh, I just... I can't sleep in it. I don't deserve it. How many Christians, that's the way we are living our lives? You know, now I know we don't mean to. But you know what? That dishonors what Jesus did. And again, I know we don't do that on purpose. Really, that's religion's false humility. Well, you know, I'm just a worm. Well, God knew that. That's why he sent and said, behold the Lamb. He didn't say, behold the worm. Look in the mirror and behold the worm. No, he said, behold the Lamb. I know. You say, I'm not trying to be, but I guarantee you that'll stick with you. Isn't that what we do a lot of times though? We behold the worm. We behold the sickness. We behold the guilt. We behold the condemnation. We do everything but what he said, behold the Lamb of God. And so it honors God when I do that. It honors the finished work of Jesus. It honors Calvary. It honors the precious blood of the Lamb. It honors the resurrection of Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Turn, if you will, real well, let me finish reading that there. Oh, my goodness, this is so good. He said, how much more will those, listen, notice the key word here, receive. How much those who will receive, who will receive? God's provide. He said, it's those who will receive it. 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 How much more those who receive, receive. Receive. Don't be like the illustration I gave where, you know, I gave you the house and you're sleeping on the front porch. You didn't receive it. I gave it, but you didn't receive it. God has given it through Christ Jesus, all things pertaining unto life and godliness by His grace. You've got to receive it. And of the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. God's called us to reign in this life. You say, Pastor, it's hard for me to get my head around this. That's why you got to behold the Lamb of God. You need to meditate on this. You need to behold. You need to see the Lamb of God. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your circumstance. Stop looking at what other people are saying. And behold the Lamb of God. And when somebody comes to you and says, well, I'll tell you what, yeah, I'm telling you, you sure don't look like this. You sure don't look like that. You just tell them, behold the Lamb of God. Isn't that what John the Baptist did? He had crowds of people coming out to him. He had all these people coming to him. Man, he could have just puffed himself up. Boy, look at me. I'm the prophet. I'm something. God called me, boy. I'm telling you what. Look at me. Look at who I am. But you know what he said? He said, behold the Lamb of God. He pointed to the Lamb of God. He said, here's what my life is about. Behold the Lamb of God. You know what my life and your life's about? Behold the Lamb of God. When the enemy comes and accuses you, you say, behold the Lamb of God, devil. When sickness comes against you, you say, behold the Lamb of God. Man, I'm telling you, I got to hold myself down. I'm take off. Turn to Galatians 3 real quickly. How many of you give me just a few more minutes here? To behold the Lamb of God. What a great thing to do on Palm Sunday. To see Him as He really is. To see Him as He really is. This Jesus preparing Himself for Calvary. To see Him as He really is. In Galatians 3:13, notice this. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the same promise of the Spirit. The Bible says that Abraham was justified by faith, that God promised him, He said, I'm going to provide for all your needs abundantly, and that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God provided a covenant umbrella for Abraham. And though Abraham was in the world, he was not of it. And you and I, in the same way, we are in the world, but we are not of it. And we should behold the Lamb of God. And we should walk according to the power that now is at work within us. The Bible said, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, He lives in us, and He is at work in us so that we may enjoy all the benefits of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what I think too, brother. Look down, Galatians 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Sons of God. For you are all baptized into Christ who have clothed yourselves with Christ. When you believed on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I want you to get a fresh picture. A vibrant picture. An enlarged picture of the Lamb of God. He did it for you. He did it for you. If you had been the only person, He would have done it. He did it for you. He did it for you. You say, yeah, but I feel so unworthy. That's why He did it for you. Yes, but I don't deserve it. That's why He did it for you. Yes, but I don't feel like. That's why He did it for you. Yes, but I don't understand it all. That's why He did it for you. But I can't live up to it. That's why He did it for you. Eliminate all your objections when you behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Can you see Him this morning? Can you see Him there this morning? The Lamb of God. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to read one more scripture. Turn one more scripture with me. We're going to close. We're going to pray. Hebrews chapter 9. I would encourage you. You ought to get in the book of Hebrews and really study and read it through. Because it will so amplify. I'm kind of like skipping a rock across a pond. I'm just hitting a few places here. But I hope that it stirs something within you. Verse 18. He said, this is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, this is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep. In the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies, the tabernacle of Moses, it was the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself for you. I added the for you, but he did. Now to appear for us, you and I, in God's presence. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb in the heavenly tabernacle this morning. Behold the Lamb taking His very own blood, taking it before the Father Himself. He appeared there as our high priest. He appeared there as your intercessor. Nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not His own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now He has appeared once. Everybody say once. Once for all, at the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. No wonder He could say, it is finished. Once and for all. Heaven's judgment seat, judgment bar, is satisfied. The judgment of God against you, the wrath of God against you, is satisfied. Once and for all. All. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious, truth, what a glorious reality, awaits everyone who beholds the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb of God. This morning, I want all of us to take a moment or two here. And as Brother Mitch and Tuomo play here in just a moment, I want us to take just a moment to behold again, by the eye of faith, to behold the Lamb of God. To behold the Lamb of God. Let this reality, let this truth sink deep within your consciousness this morning. Deep within it, as you behold the Lamb of God, as you look to the Lamb of God. Guys, if you will, go ahead and play something there. And we're going to take just a minute or two. Now I'm going to let you go in a minute, but take a minute or two. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. It's all in His doing. It's all by the love of God. It's all by Jesus, once and for all, offering Himself up. There is no condemnation. There is no more guilt. There is no more shame. Jesus bore it all. Jesus bore it all. He took it all. Honor Him by seeing Him today as the Lamb of God. Honor Him in your life by seeing Him who has redeemed you from death, from sin, from sickness, from all the burdens of sin. He is the Lamb of God once and for all. He appeared in heaven for you. You are delivered. If you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. He did it for you as well. He bore your sin. He bore your guilt, your shame, your condemnation. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, I've got good news for you this morning. Jesus went to a place called Calvary on an old rugged cross. And there He took all your sins. He took all your guilt. And the judgment you were under, He bore it Himself. The Bible says that if you will turn from your own way and turn to Jesus, the Bible calls it repentance, you turn to God, you call on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I receive your salvation. I receive the grace of God. I receive the finished work of Calvary into my life. Jesus, save me. I receive now the abundance of grace. I receive now all the forgiveness of God. I receive now all that you did for me at Calvary. I look to you, the Lamb of God. I look to the Lamb of God. If you're here this morning and there's sickness and pain in your body, you look to the Lamb of God. Look to Calvary. See the stripes. See your sickness upon Him. See that He has taken your pains. He has taken them. He took them so that you would not have to bear them. See that. See that pain. See that sickness upon Him. If you're here and you've been bound by a habit, by something, see that Jesus took that curse. He took that habit. He took all of that bondage. He took it upon Himself, and He has set you free once and for all. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And in the understanding of that, remember what Jesus said, I have come that you may have life until it overflows. Overflowing grace from the Lamb of God to you. Freely given and nothing held back. Oh, receive it. Receive it today. Receive it today. More than enough for every need of your life. Father, thank you for the Lamb of God. thank you for all your abundant provision. We receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness today in our lives. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, can we give God thanks? Oh, thank you for the Lamb of God. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Oh, Father. Oh, my needs are met by the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, would you be seated just for a moment or two? Just play real lightly in the background there. This morning, I want to lay before you a special request and a special need that we have here at Grace. And I want to ask you to pray about your participation in it. That is this. We are in need of doing some repairs on the roof of our building, our facility here. Because we've got some places where it's leaking. How many of you know this is an old building? It's been beautifully renovated, you know, but there are some parts of it, and the roof is part of it, that's about 40 years old. And there needs to be some places that needs to be repaired and renovated. We're not talking about the whole brand new roof, but we're talking about there's some places where it needs to be done, and we need to do that quickly because, you know, the rainy season is going to be coming pretty soon. And, you know, if we let it go, then the rain comes in and that causes more problems. So we've got an estimate. We need about $10,000 to do what we need to do. Don't worry about it. God's got it. Amen. God's got it. But here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you if you will consider giving above your regular giving. We're gonna receive, excuse me. I know today you're not prepared, but we are going to receive an offering today. Then we're going to receive an offering on the 19th. That's the Sunday after Easter. And then the following Sunday, if we need to, the 3rd of May. And so, if you're not able to and weren't prepared today, I understand that. Pardon me. But I want you to prepare. Pray about it and ask God to provide. If you don't have seed to sow into this, ask God between now and the 19th or May the 3rd to provide extra seed for you, if you would, to sow toward this. Amen. I believe that God has called this church to be a presence in our community and to make a difference. And I believe that our greatest days are ahead of us yet, that we're going to see God's glory and God's presence here. He's going to use us to reap a harvest. And this great Lamb of God that I talked about is what we're going to be proclaiming, continue to proclaim. But I want to ask you, if you would, we're going to take...